Hallelujah. Actually, you can be opening up to 2 Timothy. Now, while you're turning there, really, we are still in Ephesians. But we did two messages so far out of 2 Timothy based on Ephesians. I mean, the conclusion of Ephesians is what? Put on the whole armor of God. We're going to war, people. And, you know, you guys are on the front lines. And even though Timothy was really, he was a minister. He was a pastor of a church, a big church. Paul had pretty much taken him under his wing. And, you know, like anybody, Timothy came under fire then. And so Paul's counseling him in these two letters and telling him to be a good soldier. We've already done two lessons. I called him a serving of strong meat, part 1 and 2. Now tonight's going to be a serving of strong meat, part 3. So if you came for a milkshake, sorry. I'm going to get some meat tonight. And really it goes right along with Tim's message at the 8:30 service this morning, where he was talking about in Ephesians 4, part of what we're called to do is put away lying. And not just the kind of lying about, normal lying. But really, when it says, because the rest of the verse says, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. That's not talking about speaking truth to the world. You're not members of the world anymore. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. And that second message today, are you pretty you understanding now? You're not part of the species of Adam now? See? So when it says, speak every man truth with his neighbor, it's talking about amongst the brethren. It's talking about speaking. Now, we're supposed to go speak the truth anyway, but he's especially talking about speaking the truth. And that word, like Tim so eloquently taught us this morning, it's a variation of the word that Jesus said when he said, I am the way, I am the life, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. Also, when he said, you shall know the truth, it's not exactly that word. It's a little slight variation of that word. But it distills into meaning when you speak, like when I speak to Rich, or Rich speaks to me, or I speak to Mike, or Daisy, or whoever, when we speak, we're supposed to be speaking the truth of doctrine. The truth. We're not supposed to be saying stuff to hurt, to help your little feelings, you know. Well, God put that sickness on you to teach you something. That is false doctrine. You're not speaking the truth in love, you know, or... Now, you do have to speak it in love, though. But it's God's love, not human love. I'll tell you again what God told me years ago. Human compassion is as deadly as poison when it is substituted for God's compassion. Here's love. Is Jesus love? Yes. I mean, did he ever do anything that was not love? So here's love speaking the truth to the Pharisees. You whitewashed tombstones. you know, on the outside you clean the cup, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. How about this? You are of your father, the devil. And all of that was love. Because he's reaching out to them. He's trying to rescue them from an eternity in hell. That's why near the end of it he says, if you don't believe I am he, you're going to die in your sins. He's saying all that. Trying to shake them up. He's trying to break them out of that religion and into life. Amen? Well, so we've been studying this letter here a little bit in Timothy. If we're supposed to go to war, well, he said some things to Timothy about war. Now, we've already been through some of this, especially when it comes to speaking the truth in love. Just to remind you a little bit, he talks in here about endure hardness as a soldier. But he also talks about don't get involved with vain babblings. Don't get into disputes about words to no profit. I mean, there's some people that all they really want to do is just argue. And they want to appear scholarly. And so they're, you know, they study Greek books and stuff. And I'm not against any of that, but it's the motive that's important, you know. The reason we're all studying, I mean, I know why you're here on a Sunday night. I'm not talking about anybody in here. You wouldn't be here for the third service of the day if you're not a hungry little rascal. And you're trying to do everything you know how to be conformed to the image of Christ so that the world can see that Jesus is alive. They have to see it through us. Amen. But it says a lot in here about don't get involved. I mean, there's no end to that. You start talking about, you know, vain jangling and babblings about the word. You know, he said they strive about words to no profit. You'll never come to the end of that. We finished chapter 2 the last time that we did this. And we've started into 3 just a little bit, so I'm going to pick it up here and get our thinking going down the same road. How about verse 22 of chapter 2? It says, "Flee also youthful lusts, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Now here it is. "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes, and the servant of the Lord must not strive." Now that doesn't mean that people's never going to get upset with you. They got upset with Jesus all the time. But what it's talking about here is don't get into that. I love that story that Dave tells. You know, there was these two ministers, and they disagreed over something. So the one of them says, "Well, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord." The other guy says, "Well, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus." "Well, then I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And the other guy says, "I rebuke you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy..." Here we go. See? That's not what we're after, that kind of thing there, okay? "We must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him," isn't this interesting, "at his will. As long as they're going to remain stubborn and unteachable, he's able to take them captive at his own choosing." You know, really, that's a perfect example of Paul, who before the Damascus Road experience, the devil was using him to kill Christians, and he thought he was doing God a service. And the devil was just using him every day of his life, and he had no idea it was happening, and he was just taken captive. And nobody, I don't think, could have persuaded Paul. Jesus had to appear to him, you know, or a vision, bright light, blind you for a little while, knock you off the horse, and you come up off of that going, "Who are you, Lord? Whoever you are Lord." Well, after that, the devil wasn't able to take him captive anymore. See? All right. Now we're into chapter 3, and we introduced this a little bit the last time. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Would y'all think we're in the last days now? I think we're in the last days of the last days, myself. "For men..." Now, we don't recognize any people like this in our generation. And now, by the way, you'll see this here in just a little while. This description here, yeah, it applies to the world, of course. Who he's talking about here? These are church people. These are people that are in the church. These are, quote, believers. So, verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous," that means, what does that mean?
Money lovers.
"Money lovers, boasters," brag and boast. I cringe every time I see one of these preachers in their $10,000 Armani suits. And they'll say something on television like, "I'm so blessed, I don't even know how many cars I own." It scares me a little bit. I cannot see Jesus talking that way, acting that way. "Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful." Unthankful. I'll tell you right now, the root of holiness is thankfulness. The more that you appreciate what He's done for you. See, Sue and I, nobody had to convince us we were going to hell. We were world-class sinners. You know, I mean, we really were. And when I started seeing the truth of the gospel before I received Jesus, I saw myself being dangled right out over the pit of hell and saw that I had no way out. And if something didn't happen, there was nothing I could do. I was going to wind up burning in hell forever. So boy, when the Lord came and saved me out of that, and I knew for sure that He saved me out of it, there is a gratitude there. There is a thankfulness there that has a lot to do with living holy. I like how Alan Taylor said it one time. He said, righteousness, the gift of righteousness, really that's God's gift to you. But a life of holiness, that's your gift back to Him. And that's very true. But these men, they're unthankful. And if they're unthankful, I'm telling you, where that's usually, you're going to find lasciviousness and all kinds of evil work right there. Well, anyway, so they're... disobedient to parents, unthankful. See, in the very next one, unholy. The very next, I didn't realize that. The unthankful and unholy. See how it goes together? Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, and despisers of those that are good. See, Gary, this cannot be talking about church people. Surely. Well, let's keep going. Traitors. That word heady. One time Dave did a service where he described, he says, what we have in the body of Christ today is lollipop Christians. Y'all remember the old lollipops? And the kind where you suck on it till you get the little gooey candy on the inside? Tootsie Pop. I couldn't think of it. Tootsie Pop, yes. And so they got a little stick here with a great big bulb on the top, great big head. He said that's the way a lot of Christians are today. Little bitty dried up spirit, full of head knowledge. Let me tell you about the Greek and the tenses and the verbs. And wouldn't know the Holy Ghost if he came through town wearing a hat that said Holy Ghost on it. You know, heady, heady. You know, that word's in there for a reason. Heady. Everything's based out of the head. It's all learning. It's all logic. But see, the key in Ephesians, the key is to know the love. It's amazing how it's worded. To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. So you could say it this way. To know the love of Christ that passes knowing. Now, everybody really knows what that is. Like, most of you have seen me with my grandson, Cole, or our granddaughter, Lily. Lily's 2 years old. Lily can do no wrong. Now, in Papa's eyes, okay? Now, I can try and describe to you, you know, I can tell you all the cute things she does. I can tell you all about, you know, I can bring pictures, and I can give you some knowledge. But how do I really give you what's in my heart towards that girl? I can't do it. It's a love that passes knowledge. I could write volumes and I could never get it across to you. You have to feel it. You have to know it. That's know it for yourself. Well, that's the way this love of Christ is. I get almost jealous of the relationship that Dave and the Lord has. Now, don't throw no rocks at me. I'm just telling you. I mean, that's just the truth. One of the reasons I keep following Dave, I can tell he's got, you know, he's got a thing going with the Lord here now. And you know, Paul says, follow me as I follow the Lord. Well, I can't follow Paul except with his book, but I can follow Dave as Dave follows the Lord. And there's a relationship there. He spent more hours in fellowship with the Lord, more time in... There's a relationship there that I can tell is... Let me just say, and not that God loves me any less, but I haven't done my part to develop that relationship to the same degree. Well, anyway... It's a love that passes knowledge. But the point here, what Paul is warning Timothy about, is heady, H-E-A-D-Y, heady, lollipop Christians. All they know is book learning. All they know is the... I'll tell you, the man in my lifetime that did the most to destroy my faith in God was when I went to OSU during the years of... 67, 68, 69, 66, 67, 68, 69. One of those years I had a professor. It was a humanities course, and it was a requirement, and I had to take it. This guy, he's one of those guys that has almost a photographic memory. I never knew anybody that could quote the Bible and he was real proud of it, too. He'd say, bring your Bibles to class tomorrow. You know, bring a King James. So I'd bring it. That guy, from memory, could stand there and quote out of, like, he'd pick something hard, like, Numbers, Leviticus. You know, he'd pick something back there and quote about three chapters without missing a beat. Impressive, isn't it? That man, he knew the book, but he did not know the author of the book. He did more to destroy my faith than any other human I've come in contact with in my whole life. I mean, he did a number on me. That is a heady person. Now, I don't think he was even saved. I'm not the judge. I can't look on his heart. But based on what he did to us, it makes me wonder. But if he was saved, he certainly fits that description of heady. He knew the Word of God, but he did not know the God of the Word. And there's a big difference. Okay, let's keep going. How about high-minded? How about this one? Now, I cringe a little when I read this one. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. How many wants to repent right now? Should I give an altar call right now? Okay, I got a lot of hands going up. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, you know, and God's not against us enjoying life, really. But especially if you're attending this church or you're a part of this vision around the world, well, you know where all that, quote, spare time is supposed to go, right? Or at least the bulk of it, the vast majority of it. What is it supposed to be in? Prayer, meditation of the Word, worship, doing the things that we do. Now, and I believe really, once we really are in revival, I think a lot of the stuff that's taking our time now, you won't care a thing about it. You know? You won't even know what night CSI comes on anymore. Or whatever it is. You know, some people it's Dancing with the Stars, for crying out loud. Other people it's this and that, you know. What is that? American Idol. That's a big one with a lot of people. You know? And God's not, you know, we're in the world even though we're not of the world. He's not totally against it. But I'll tell you what's really scary. I'll tell you right now. I'll just fess up myself. There's been times when the Lord said, spend this next hour with me. Turn that off. Boy, I'd like to stand here and tell you I've been 100% obedient to do that every time. But I got to tell you, there's times I did it. Most times, I didn't do it. Okay? Why? Going on to the next verse. Everyone, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you love us. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for the blood. See, we read that and you think, there's no way those are believers. Man, covetous, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, truth breakers, false accusers, fierce. There's Gary, that cannot be believers. But then look at verse 5. Having a form of what?
Godliness.
This is not the heathen. This is not the atheist. This is not the non-believers. These people have a form of godliness. They've got the outward form of it. But see, they deny the power thereof. Now, from such, turn away. Now, there's all levels of that denying the power thereof. In the context of what he's writing to Timothy here, he was already talking about people that just like to talk and hear their gums flap, and they want to appear scholarly, but they're not really interested in change. And so their method of looking like somebody is to always be bringing up difficult questions about words to no profit. Okay? That's one kind. All right? But they're not really interested in the power of God. They just want to seem to be somewhat amongst them, as Dave would say. But then there's others, like the Pharisees, who are in religion. How many like the offering exhortation that I did this morning?
Amen.
You know? And plainly, they're in it to make money. They are making merchandise of the sheep and know they're making merchandise of the sheep. And I'm not saying they're on their way to hell. I'm not the judge. I can't look on their heart. But they're plainly, and Peter talks about them, they're making merchandise of the sheep and know that they're doing it. Now, some of them are doing it and don't realize really to the extent that they are because that's the way they were taught. It's just all they've ever known. There's a difference. Well, anyway. But see, when I think of denying the power thereof, well, let's look at some of the levels of that. One of the levels, let's look at the some I grew up under. They talk, and they love God. These are definitely believers that I grew up in those denominational churches. Everyone knows it's Baptist. Okay, I grew up as a Baptist, Southern Baptist. But now, see, I'm a Baptist-costal. I have a unique perspective on all this because my dad's side was Southern Baptist to the bone and still are to this day. Okay? Tongues has passed away. Healing has passed away only if it's his will. There are no apostles. There are no prophets. So forth and so on. That's that side of the family. My mom's side of the family, holiness Pentecostal. Hair up in a bun, no makeup, but right on the, but shouting. Now, shouting. They went to, they're those, you know, go, they met at the little church in Happy Holler, you know. And my mom says, I don't ever remember a day in my life not hearing my mother walking through the house singing in other tongues to the Lord. So I asked her, I said, well, how come you to wind up Baptist? In her generation, she says, I married a Baptist man. That was the end of the matter. I just found out over the weekend, though, talking with my mom, I did not know this. See, so that's why I've called myself a Babdicostal. I can see, and all both sides love God, both sides going to heaven. So it gives me a unique perspective. I found this out, though, from my mother over the weekend. Now, She may listen to this. It's my dad's mother's mom and dad. Yes, my dad's mother's mom and dad. He was Baptist. She was Pentecostal. Now, they lived together and had a good marriage for 60-some-odd years. But they would drive, they'd ride to town in the buggy. He would drop her off at the Pentecostal church. He would go to the Baptist church, pick her up on the way back. And they got along just fine. Hallelujah. So, I'm more of a Baptist-costal heritage than I even knew about. I said, now there it is. But now, denying the power thereof, see, denying the power. Growing up as a little boy, I was taught that tongues had passed away. Right there, they're separating you from everything that we know about the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power. If you stay there forever, they've cut you off from tongues. They've cut you off from the revelation gift. They've cut you off from the Holy Spirit, one of His main methods of teaching. Now, He can teach you just through meditating the Word, okay? But I don't need to reteach Dave's message, you know. But they're denying the power thereof. They denied that even the ministry gifts were still in operation. Like, there is no apostle anymore. There is no prophet anymore. In fact, the only thing left was pastor, missionary, and Sunday school teacher. That's the only thing that they had, you know. So they denied all of that. And when it come to healing, it was just strictly as the Lord wills. He may want to heal this person, he may not. I remember as a boy in Sunday school raising my hand and asking questions even then out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, what about this one where it says he healed them all? Well, that's the way he did it then, but we have doctors today, so we don't need that kind of healing now. That's exactly the answer they gave me. I'm not going back to that. I bless them. Thank God for the Baptists. And I'll still tell you, there is nothing on earth more dangerous than a Spirit-filled Baptist. I mean, those people are not afraid to work, you know. They'll work the town, okay? But I'm not going back to that. I can't. It says, from such turn away. Now, I love them. I bless them. If God gives me some assignment with them, fine. But I'm not going to go back and sit there and listen to that again. I'm not going to listen. That's not speaking the truth anymore. Now, if you do start speaking the truth there, it's their church. They'll give you, like a certain minister said, the left foot of fellowship real quick, you know. But anyway, let's go on. But they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Now, here's another one. That in that same denomination. See, I'm just picking on that one because I know that one. But I know enough about most of the rest of them. Very much of it's still the same. Here's another way they denied the power thereof. One of the primary doctrines was, you're saved, all right, but you're just an old sinner saved by grace. And the message was, well, you're forgiven. Jesus, and it's true to a point, Jesus paid the price for your sins. He died on the cross in your place. He took your punishment. So if you believe in Him, He took your guilt and God gives you His righteousness and you can be born again. Well, but what they call born again is really Old Testament salvation. It's like the blood of a bull or a goat, but you're still the same. So what they're denying the power of, basically you would sum it up like this. Yes, God can forgive you, but the gospel does not bring a power to change you. Because you're still just an old sinner. You're still who you were before. Now you're just forgiven. See, that is denying the power thereof. Jesus did not... And boy, are we coming into some of the understanding of that with these messages that's been come forward in the last... Not only are we not just that same old sinner, you're not even of the same species of human you were before. For crying out loud. Talk about, you know, not the mind of Christ, what they're teaching. Well, I have to turn away from that. I can't sit there and listen to that. Now, they're still my brethren, and we can, you know, if they want to have perhaps some kind of a rally or a prayer meeting for the city, I'll go pray with them. Sure. You know? Deny the power thereof. Well, let's continue on. That's about where we were last time, I think. These are the sort, verse 6, of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins and led away with divers lusts. Now, here's another one. This is a verse where I cringe a little for myself. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I rebuke that for this church. That is not going to be us. Sometimes the devil uses that very verse against me. He goes, well, see there, you ought to be out raising the dead, and here you are still learning about it. Well, I went out and tried it. I did recently, within the last year. I did everything I knew to do, and so did everybody else in the room. And if you'd have been there, I'm pretty sure you would have too. And it still didn't work. Well, so what do you got to do? You go humble yourself. Set your little britches back in a chair. Start letting the Holy Spirit teach your new nature. Bring you into the fullness of these things so that we can grow up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. But those people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, I'm so glad we're here at verse 8 now. Now, as Jannes and Jambres, as those guys withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, now notice, reprobate concerning the faith. Reprobate is a really strong word. Reprobate means your past. Dave says it this way, and I, again, when I can't improve on it, I just quote Dave. He said, what is a reprobate mind? He says, you know, you can backslide and start getting hardened to the things of God, but there's still something in you that loves God, and you're still a candidate for repentance, and you can come back. But he says, you know, you can just keep on with that, get out there for so long and so far away from God. Eventually, something in you changes, and nothing in you wants God anymore. It's not that he wouldn't take you back. There's just nothing in you that wants to go back. You're reprobate concerning the faith. And that's what happens here with these guys. They're reprobate concerning the faith. Now, let's think a minute. How did James and Jambres, how did they withstand Moses? Well, here comes Moses. And who sent you? Oh, yeah. I saw the Ten Commandments. I am that I am has sent me. So he wants to see a sign. So here comes all these signs, you know. One of them, he threw his rod down, became a snake. Now, what did those two guys do? Let me throw down my staff, and those became snakes. Now, they were, do you think God did that? Think a minute. You think God, boy, that's quiet right now. They're resisting him with lying signs and wonders. Now, the devil has some power. He does have some power, okay? And these men withstood the truth by using power from the wrong side to produce things that could be seen in the material realm, saying, oh, we can do the same as that. Now, I dare not go a whole lot. I have a lot to say right there. I'll just mention some words. You take it from there. I'm just going to mention some words. Gold dusting. Jewels appearing in the middle of a service. Vomiting up demons into paper bags. I could go on with lots of other things. Feathers. Stigmata, where they bleed from the hands, bleed from the eyes. What? Oil appears. You know? Now, some of that is just staged. You know, they caught that one lady that was just literally, she was doing it by sleight of hand. But some of it is done just like James and Jan, just like those two guys. Just like those two guys. They were actually tapping in to demonic power and causing things to happen. So, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the discerning of spirits concerning those that would deceive you. You have an unction from the Holy One. You got the Holy Ghost on the inside. And I don't want to mention names, but a recent, quote, revival in Florida that turned out to be a disaster. And nobody intended to do anything wrong. I don't think any of those people had bad intentions whatsoever, even the main guy. But from the first time that I tuned in, the first time I saw it, there was a knot in my gut. I mean, just right, y'all know where your gut is? Right down, you know, I mean, something in me just went, something, man, I don't know what it is. Everything looked fine. Well, it didn't really look fine either. But I don't want to judge by my eyes, really. But something deeper than the five senses, there's something wrong here. Boy, it turned out to be. And it's not that things weren't happening. Things were happening. But we found out later that even during the services, while, you know, after they would be over, the guy would be drinking and sleeping with some lady who wasn't his wife. Later on, wound up leaving his wife and two kids and marrying that lady. See, something was wrong. Well, anyway, verse 8. I'll just read it again. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their shali, their shali, that's folly and shall, shali. For their folly shall be manifest, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Now here we go. Now we have instruction for, he's starting to instruct Timothy now, and he's instructing the prayer center now. And I know not everybody here is called to pastor. I understand that. Not everyone here maybe even be in the fivefold. But if you're at this service, or if you're even hearing this service around the world, honey, whether you like it, whether you don't like it, you're a minister of the Almighty God. You're listening to this because something in you, and especially if you keep coming back, because something in you knows you need this level of training. You're going to be on the front lines now. It may not have the title apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, but you're going to be on the front lines. You're going to be a soldier. And honey, you need this kind of teaching. So here he goes. He says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Isn't that amazing, the first thing he mentions? Let's say it a different way. Thou hast fully known the truth that I teach. See, that would be very close. I'd have to look it up. I don't know if it's the same word or not. Probably isn't. But knowing how the Holy Spirit connects these services on any given Sunday, this is how Paul was manifesting what Tim was teaching about this morning when it says, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Well, that's exactly what Paul has been doing with Timothy. He says, Timothy, you know my doctrine, the truth that I've been teaching. You know what I teach. Keeps going. My manner of life. How about purpose? You know my faith. You know my long suffering. Timothy, you fully know my charity, that's love, my patience. Aren't those great things? I want all those in abundance, don't you? You want these next ones in abundance too? If you don't have the first ones, you're not going to make it through the second ones. Well, what are the second ones, Gary? Persecutions. Afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all, not from them all. You notice that? Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. If you want to see what all he went through, a pretty good listing of it, go to 1 Corinthians, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Might be, if it's not there, it's 2 Corinthians. It's the one where Dave says the devil filed a chapter 11 on him. And he starts listing all of those things, you know. Shipwrecked three times. A day and a night I've spent in the deep, meaning he's hanging on to some kind of board, you know, out in the middle of the ocean. Stonings, whippings, rods where they take these rods and break the bones in your feet. The idea being you can't, you know, his mode of transportation mainly was to walk from town to town. Well, the idea is we'll cripple you where you can't do that anymore. Did God make it so he didn't have the beatings? No, he healed him after every one. Out of each one, he delivered me. Out of each one. I don't know if we'll come to that level. We might in this nation. But I can see we're headed for a persecution in this country. All you got to do pretty soon is just stand up and say homosexuality is a sin. And it's going to be ready to go to jail. Or you're going to have protesters out in front of your house. They'll be threatening your kids on the way to the school bus. I mean, it could get really bad. That's why, Rich and Deborah, raise your hands. Rich, Deborah, raise your hands. I highly encourage you all. They head up a prayer meeting every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock here at the prayer center. And was it 1 hour? Hour and a half? Something like that? And the whole thing is to make intercession for our nation. Moa, we need that. Our nation needs prayer. And whether you like the ones in leadership or don't like them, honey, they need prayer. It's the only leaders we got. They better be hearing from God. So anyway, getting on past here. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all... I wish it said some. Some of those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'd like to read that and go, yes, that's Dave and Tim. Because that's not what it says, though, is it? And I'm telling you, we're going to come even into more of a time of that in our country. You stand up for what is right, and you live what is right, and no compromise. More and more, you're going to be a light shining in a dark place. But the dark is going to do everything it can to put out the light. How does it do it? Persecutions, afflictions, cares of this world. The God of this world, that's how he does it. Verse 13. But evil men, now isn't this something? And seducers. Evil men and seducers. Why don't you just include them with the evil men? See, and seducers here is not really painting a picture of any kind of sexual thing. These are, how would I pull it? Gold-tongued orators. Reminds me of a certain leader we have right now. I mean, they can seduce with their words. Evil men and seducers. Which shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But what's our instruction? You continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, he was talking about himself right there. He just got through saying, look at verse 10, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, and so forth. Now, he's going down here in verse 14. He hasn't changed the subject. I want you to continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. In other words, Timothy, you know I'm for real. How many of you thinks Dave's for real? I think Dave is for real. I don't think he's in it for the money. That's a smart man. If he was in it for the money, he'd have left this decades ago and be out there making big money. Him and Tim both are really smart. They're in it because they're servants of the Most High God. I know of whom I have learned these things, and I have confidence in them. So, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, meaning fully grown up, fully mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus. Now, when he says this phrase, that's not just something nice to fill out the page in the King James Bible. He's saying, when he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying, I'm saying this with the knowledge they're both sort of here. They're bearing witness to what I'm saying. In other words, I'm not taking it lightly what I'm telling you. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom? This is my instruction. Now to Timothy, who is an evangelist / pastor, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Now this is all love. Reprove. Rebuke. Do I need to explain rebuke? Hardly anyone ever receives a rebuke and thought it was given to them in love. You whitewashed tombstones, you brood of vipers. Would you call that a rebuke? Who spoke it?
Jesus.
And it was love. Now, I will tell you this. And again, this is connected with the message today. An instruction that we received here at the prayer center quite a few years ago. See, there's some places you can go and it's okay to teach what you know. We're not allowed really to do that here at the prayer center. Where that would be appropriate is a Bible college, and it'd be okay. And you have study courses, and you can set up notes, and you can set up all kinds of things, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a way to do it. Teach what you know. But see, the instruction that we received here quite a few years ago, we're not allowed to teach what we know. We're allowed to teach what we hear. So y'all will watch me follow the Lord through a service now. You've seen how you watch. You know how I do it, don't you? I follow the visions and I follow the voice. Sometimes he'll give me a little snippet where to start. Sometimes I'll have two or three. Most of the time not. And I'm kind of getting where I like those the best. that way I can't mess it up ahead of time, see. But now it's the same way with your gifts. We had a person. Don't ask me after the service. This person still comes, and he is literally a prophet in training. There's no doubt. He doesn't go around saying it. You hang around him very much, you'll find out. See, your gifting will make place for you. You don't have to go around saying it all the time. Your gifting will just make place for you. This guy's for real. He's a prophet. But he's a prophet in training. So when he first started, like anybody, start stepping out with it. Well, now, see, the Holy Spirit, He primarily is working on you. You got that? Now, I always get a little leery when people start praying and immediately they have words for everybody else. That's not normally the way the Holy Spirit works. You know, normally He's talking about you and He's shining the spotlight on you and He's trying to get places out of you, okay? But if you really are a prophet, if that really is your calling, then yes, He is. You're going to come to the place and you're going to start seeing things, and it's really the Lord. And so he stepped out a couple of times, and like all the rest of us, he kind of got his eyebrows singed off. Let's just say it this way, it wasn't received very well. But I can tell you, I know for sure that both times it was the Lord. So he spoke with me and spoke with Tim, and we said, now look, I don't operate in this all the time, but like in a prayer line, and especially when I'm not here. See, the trouble here is I know everybody too well. I know too much of your history. So this doesn't happen so much here. But when I go to Korea, or I go to some other place, you know, preach somewhere else where I don't know the people at all, and they get in a prayer line, honey, that gift of discerning, that gift of the word of knowledge, gift of word of wisdom starts kicking in, and I see things, and some of it's good, some of it's not so good. I'll see, just as clear as I'm seeing you right now, I'll see pornography on a computer, and I'll see them sitting there, and I'll know for sure that they're doing that. Or I'll see them in an adulterous situation, or I'll see all kinds of things. Now, that does not mean just because he's showing that to me, and I know it for a fact, that does not mean, yeah, thou art sleeping with someone who is not thy wife. That's not why he's showing me that. He's showing me that so I can pray and I can minister. And the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he'll craft a prayer with that knowledge that nobody will know what's going on. But now later on, if I get to counsel with that person, depends. I can't say what I know. I say what I hear. You with me? Same way with the Word of God. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians, See, with you guys, I can teach really right at the edge of what I know. Y'all know I'm doing that anyway. I couldn't go into that little Baptist church in Shawnee and teach this morning's message for crying out loud. You know, talk about choking, you know, and get the left foot of fellowship real quick. You'd have to go all the way back. Tongues is for today. You'd have to go all the way back, you know, and start showing them from the Word. Showing it, just like I had to learn it. From the very beginning, from the Word. All Scripture is given for reproof, for exhortation, for doctrine, see? Okay? So reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. Boy, now that's important. Long-suffering and doctrine. Here we are with that word again, doctrine. So a lot of people, the word doctrine has a bad taste in their mouth. Well, false doctrine has a bad taste in my mouth. I'm not for false doctrine. Okay? But you're going to find the word doctrine, Jesus, it was written about Him, they were astonished at His doctrine. They were astonished at His doctrine. Well, you're not going to be able to speak the truth in love without speaking sound doctrine. That's what it is. All right, looking for a place here. Okay, yes. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Boy, are we living in that day? But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I want to hear more about how God is going to do everything for me. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Watch thou though, Timothy. Now I want to go a lot on there, but we're out of time. We'll have to do this another time. Just picking one fable. Here's a fairy tale. A little fairy tale from the Word that I believed for about 10 years. Every dollar that you give, God is going to speak to somebody and multiply it back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now the way that's taught, is that a verse? Absolutely. Luke 6:38. We can go right there, lift it out of context just the same way they do. But they have concocted a fable, taking a true scripture, lifting it out of its setting, and making it say something that is just a fairy tale. Doesn't mean that at all, has nothing to do with the church offering, never will have anything to do with the church offering. There's no way you can make it have anything to do with the church offering. In the context, we've taught it here many times, you could go teach it now. In the context, it's how you treat that sinner. The one that God's trying to get the gospel to, how do you treat him when he's slapping your face, stealing your goods, doing everything, despitefully using you? How are you going to treat him? Now, if he walks away with your money and you let him, that's the person, God says, because you're extending mercy to him. You're extending grace to him. God says, don't worry about that. Yeah, he may walk away with your money. Don't worry, because I'll speak to the hearts of other people and they will give back to you much more than he ever walked away with. I like to say it this way. God's guarantee is, don't worry about that guy. You will never be permanently diminished by anything that the sinners do to you. I'll make sure you're not. That's the guarantee of Luke 6:38. God, that's a little different than plunking your $10 in the offering bucket while you're suing your neighbor. All right. Strong meat. We'll finish with this. Verse 5. Watch thou, Timothy, and prayer center. You be careful to do this. Endure. What's the word out there? As you walk out, the very first word that comes to the prayer center, endurance is the key. Endure afflictions. Now, to Timothy, he said, do the work of an evangelist to make full proof of thy ministry. To Gary, he would say, do the work of a teacher. Be ready to teach. Do those things that will allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, so when you step out here, you got something to give. Depending on what you... I'll tell you what, I was highly impressed. My dad was in the hospital. I'm telling you, I was so impressed with those nurses. I mean, they're not getting paid a whole lot of money. What they do on a daily basis, I don't know if I'm dead enough to do. But I got to tell you, they seem to love it. I think they found a calling. I think you got to have a calling to do that. I mean, really, I was amazed. And to have good, you know, just chipper and talking and friendly and loving. And I'm thinking, if I, you know, me, if I change one more bedpan, I'm going to hit him over the head with it, see? But it's whatever your calling is. Whatever your calling is, we've got to be able to endure and do the work of it. Do it heartily. Whatever you do, do it as with your might. Do it as unto the Lord. Some people, I'm not looking at anybody, some people are having difficulty getting along with other people now. And can you imagine when revival has come and you're still a little touchy-feely offendable? And the devil's going to come, he's going to pour gasoline on any little spark like that. I mean, the first thing he's going to do is separate you, try and divide and conquer. Man, we have got to do this message in preparation. We have got to get the handles off the coffee cup. Amen? Where we cannot be turned. I want that greased pole anointing, I'm telling you. Boy, the devil is in for such a headache. The day that the church is not asleep anymore and wakes up to who we are, seated together with Him, coming like an army to His take away the land from His defenseless little self. Can't be bought. Can't be frightened. Can't be lied to. Can't be bribed. Can't be seduced. And will take nothing but victory for an answer. Glory to God. That's what's coming. Be a part of that. And I don't want to be in the bleachers watching it either. Anyway, there's another serving of strong meat. Did you all like ribeye tonight? Hallelujah.